movements as we continue your presence. We sustain the heaven, the open heaven we've been enjoying. You shall yet open more to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for the word of the outpouring of your strength, of your help, and of your spirit. We open ourselves up. We bring our vessel, not in little. We receive all that you have in place for us. We increase our capacity,
amen,
Lord,
amen,
to receive all that you have in stock for us.
Amen.
Not an iota of all that you have proposed for us today will go unfulfilled in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I soak myself in the blood of Jesus. I receive your backing, Holy Spirit. I receive utterance. I receive unction. I receive grace. I receive anointing.
Amen.
We cover again this assembly by the blood of Jesus. All that come to peep and mortar, we lock them outside. All that buy and sell during service, Lord, we hold them bound in the name of Jesus. We submit every heart unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You said, I sent my word and it healed them. Let your word bring healing unto our spirits, unto our souls, and unto our bodies, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' most powerful name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Before I go into the burden I have, when I was told that I will be given the opportunity to share with us today, and I prayed that evening when I wanted to sleep, I started praying that Holy Spirit should just give me the right burden. And I was in that prayer when I slept off, and I received a song. The way the fellowship went last Sunday, I would have brought it for as a confirmation, but I didn't want to, you know, take us beyond time. Since I now be coming, I said that is where I'm going to start it from. I was so sure in my spirit that it's a message for this house, because I was praying for the body when that song came. I can't even remember when last I sang that song. I'm sure Sister Buki and Bro Sam, I know a few of us also might know the song. And it was confirmation, and especially when your name is Chichi, right?
Yes.
Oyiye.
Sorry.
Oyiye Chi. Yes. So when she came and read to us from Joel chapter 2, especially the verse that says that my people shall eat in plenty.
Yeah.
So I wanted to jump up and say, no, the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. I look at the time. I said, when I'm out today, I will say it. Is that song that says that is the Lord God of plenty. You are more than enough. Do we know you? More than enough. You are El Shaddai, the Lord God of plenty. Jesus, you are more than enough. Like I said, it's been a long time, so I'm not sure I even sang it correctly. But the message there, and the one I kept stressing in the dream, was the Lord God of plenty. So I believe God is meeting the needs of his people. No matter what it is the Lord God of, it is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God of plenty. He is more than enough. So whatsoever the situation is, just key in to that prophet, see, and that's all that God did for us last week, talking about restoration.
Hallelujah.
That indeed is meeting our need.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's open to the book of Ephesians. So when I received that one, I was like, God, this is song now. Do you want me to share anything in that area? But I didn't really feel it so strong. So I kept praying until this burden settled in my mind. is actually something very big that no matter what I say, it will just be as though one is scratching it at the back. But no matter how small I'm going to draw, it is here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. So no matter this, how small this precept is, we're going to just take it. And I believe Holy Spirit will breathe upon it and will multiply it in our heart in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The book of Ephesians is a powerful book that if you really want to grow in your Christian walk, should not be far from that passage. You should not be far from that passage. And it's so loaded, so jam-packed that every verse is a message. Every verse of that from chapter 1 to chapter 6, I think it's chapter 6. Every verse of that passage, you can take, if you are the one that knows how to meditate, you can take 1 hour message from it. So it's really powerful. And it talks about our Christian work. It's so unique in all of Paul's letters, in the sense that the letters to the Ephesians this time around was not settling quarrel or addressing any particular problem about their means. The church in Ephesus is such a great and a powerful church that even when Jesus, in the message he granted unto John, to all the churches, he commended them. In the only area he said he needs to, you know, jolt them up is that do not forget your first love. So it's a powerful church. So in chapter 1 to 3, we saw where Paul was telling them, you people are so faithful. There are a lot of things that are yours, your inheritance, that you are not aware of. And so he began to, from chapter 1 to 3, began to tell them all these things that belongs to them, that ordinarily should be theirs, physically they should be enjoying. Talked about the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. Talked about them being strengthened with might in their inner man. Talking to them about knowing the mystery of his will. They be filled with the knowledge of his will. And knowing also, you know, the mystery of the fellowship of his calling. Praise the Lord. So, you know, when I read that during the pandemic, we used that passage as a Bible, the whole of Ephesians as a Bible study. You know, my family, my husband and myself and our second son, it was powerful that every chapter, even after 3 hours, we are not done because it's very loaded. I'm like, it was during that pandemic, I actually fell in love, especially, you know, in a special way with Ephesians, as though I've never read that book before. And I'm like, I must every day visit. So it was not, I didn't even remember that Ephesians, but when I said praying, asking God what he want me to share, he took me there and said, okay, I understand. I can understand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I will just be taking us to chapter 4. Like I said, 1 to 3, he was trying to expound to them what belongs to them. Do not live in denial. Do not live in ignorance. These are things that belongs to you. You need to enjoy. And I'm sure this house, we are, to some extent, we are grounded in the world. We know of our inheritances. And the Lord will continue to enlarge our heart and appreciate what they are and how to assess them in the name of Jesus. Because that's actually the burden of Peter, Paul to this church. How to assess this thing. That's why he said that their eyes of understanding may be open, might be enlightened, so that they might be able to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, you know, of the calling of the love of God unto them. So God will do it for us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So as we enter into chapter 4, Paul began to shift focus and narrowing down all this knowledge, all this work to relationship. That is how I relate with it. Relationship. It started with our relationship in the body, and he began to talk about the unity of the body and how we should walk in faith, walk in love, walk in unity, and walk circumspectly, just like our brother read today. And I thank God, right from the Bible study in my group yesterday to this morning, it has been confirmation of confirmation that truly God is saying something to us by leading me, you know, to this place. So Paul began to narrow down all these things to relationship. And why is he talking about relationship? Fine. These are your inheritances. These are the things that belongs to you in God. But there are some things that can shortchange you. There are some things that can hinder you, you know, from accessing this thing unknowingly if you don't pay attention to them. Then he started with a relationship with one another in a corporate setting. Then he shifted from that to family in chapter 5 and began to address the husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your own husband. Then talked about how children should be obedient to their parents and how the parents should not make them angry. Talked about servant-master relationship. Praise the Lord. And then, I think there's another relationship he still mentioned in chapter 6. You know, then he now clamp it up by talking about warfare. Putting all the whole armor of God that we might be able to quench all the darts. I said, having done all to stand. So these are all prerequisites that we must have if we want to win our battle consistently. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The earnest expectation of the righteous, of the creation, waited and groaned for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's not rhetorics. It's not just for us to say it. It is as what we discuss, as what we're going to discuss, it might sound so high, but everything when you narrow down, it has to be with interconnectivity. As we relate with one another. And I pray God will grant us understanding in Jesus' name. When I read, which year was that? I think 2017, my devotional guide was reading through the whole Bible. Reading the Bible chronologically just helped me appreciate when Jesus summed up the commandment into two.
Hallelujah.
Love the Father. And then love the fellow neighbor, your fellow human being. Just vertical and horizontal. That's all that this thing require. Your relationship. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it also helped me to appreciate brethren more. Because I see how God loves his people.
Jesus.
That no matter what you do, God so much loves his people. And if I don't want to be in trouble with him, I should love his people the way he loves them. So I come up, it has been there before, but it was reinforced that I will not let anybody take me jam God. What do you have not conform me, it does not concern me. It's not me that died for you.
Exactly.
But the Bible says, I should love you, I should accept you, I should relate with you. Even if it's difficult, I'll ask God for that grace.
Amen.
But when you look at, because when you look at the book of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, we read one yesterday and said, hey, this is where I'm, this kind of passages I'm talking about. God will be talking, you do this one, I'm going to deal with you, you are going to suffer famine, you are going to do this one. And in the next verse, you just say, hey, when you return, I will clothe you.
Hallelujah.
I will do something like God. Where did they come and beg?
Oh God.
Where did they, you understand? Who begged for them? If God is to be a physical parent, you say, you are the one that spoiled these children. Because in one breath, you are angry with them. Then the next one, you are the one that will be telling them, come back, come back. Let them even suffer this thing that you are saying. He closes his eye, he punishes his people, but he's even still out of his love for them. That is not his original set. He only does that, even at the last option. So God so much loves his people that he will not allow you to be the one to deal with them on his behalf. So, there is a proverb in my language that says that, let me breathe my child. It doesn't reach the bottom of the, you know, I wish you can speak the Yoruba very well. I can understand you. You know the language very well. If Sister Buki said, don't mind her. If you do anything, beat her. If I begin to deal with mercy, that's an I'm sure. In something to be like, say, Astalona, I didn't know you'd be this far now. I didn't mean it this way. That is how God to you. He raised Assyria to deal with his people. When he finished with them, look at how he went back to go and destroy the Assyria. So when you have that understanding, no matter who you are as my brother or as my sister, I will do my part to accept you the way God accepts you. So I'm just saying that one as a back, you know, as a kind of introduction to know where we are going. The burden or the topic I want to talk about is keeping the unity of the Spirit. Keeping the unity of the Spirit. In bracket, I say endeavoring. The scripture says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. But I prefer to call it keeping the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring. If there is any English like that, I would have put it keeping the unity of the Spirit endeavoringly. Praise the Lord. So, the text is taken from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. Our major emphasis is on verse 3. Let's read it together. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Like I said, if we should begin to make comments on every topic, I'm not sure we're going to go today. Because every verse is a message on its own. Walking, let's go back to that verse one. Walking worthy of your vocation. You know what he's talking about. If you say you are a Christian, let them see the sign. So Christianity is just not by mouth. It's not just that I go to church. Let them see the life in you. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another. Making room for one another. You know, ability to accommodate each other excesses. That brother is annoying. He said you should forbear it. That brother is lousy. He said you should forbear it. That brother is this or that sister is this. Forbearing one another. In what? Because of love. Why is it in love? Because love forbear. Love accommodate. Love forgive. Yes. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We'll come back there because that's our major text. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Praise the Lord. As we are going through the message or the sharing, we're still invariably going to read the whole chapter because I tried to group all that he said in that chapter into some small sub-topic or sub-headings. The verse 3 that we read, where he said that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Okay, maybe I should jump and come back to that since that's where we're going to major on. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is a reason why we are asked to sustain, because that's how to keep it. Say keep. To keep it means to sustain it. We are not the one that is creating. We are not the one that to generate the unity. You only say keep. If somebody say keep, it's not something you want to recreate. It's either I'm giving it to you to keep or it's already there. Just like God told Adam in Eden that he should keep, you know, the garden. Praise the Lord. So God puts him there and said that he should keep it. So the goal of keeping or sustaining the unity of the Spirit is that we might attain to verse 13. Let's go to verse 13 of that chapter. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Continue. Unto a perfect man. Let's see verse 13 together, please. Come again.
It's not allowed. It's just inviting me
to come. Okay, okay. Okay, we'll take it like that. Let's read it together. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay? We have prayed something directly this verse this morning as we went through the passage. Why do we have to sustain and keep? Because there is a goal. There is a vision. There is a destination. So we need to make room for ourselves because we will come this way. The day I read this place, the last time I read that place, I look at where we are going and I look at where we are. And I'm like, God, it can only be your grace. Because when you look at things that are still present with us, things that we are still struggling with, things we still complain about among ourselves, you will wonder how long it will take us there. But we thank God because it's not by power, nor by might. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. And the grace that was upon Elijah, that even though he was on his feet, he was able to outrun Ahab that was on the horse. He will rest upon us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And grant us divine speed.
Amen.
To attain and to arrive in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It's something that we need to be looking at this place every day. And when we sang the last song, I was like, wow, this is another confirmation. Take us deeper. Take us higher. Until, you know, we are clothed with glory and with life. Praise the Lord. This is the verse we are singing indirectly. So, according to the first part of that song, may truly our eyes continue to see Christ, to look at this place so that it can take us deeper, it can take us higher in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need to grow? He said we are coming to a perfect man. Look, we have three things here. Go back, my dear. We have three things there. The unity of the faith, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That is, at this level, our faith level differs. But yet, a time come that will be at the same level. At this time, our knowledge, our understanding differs. But a time will come where we are going to be at the same level. But before we get there, we need to accommodate one another. Praise the Lord. Because my total deliverance comes when I know the word of the Lord. It's the understanding of the word of God that, like I said, I don't want any brother or any sister to take me God. He doesn't just come. It's not the wisdom of this world. It's the wisdom of God that lets me know that. Praise the Lord. So, until every one of us come into that understanding, offense must still come. But what did the Bible say? Blessed is he that is not offended in me. Praise the Lord. So, why is it important? Go to the last part. Unto a perfect man, we can relate to that. Unto the measure of the stature or the fullness of Christ. He's talking about spiritual maturity. Why is it important that we get matured? Let's see Galatians 4, 1 to 3. Are we there? Okay, now I say that the head, as long as is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But it is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. When we remain at children level, we are being denied of our inheritance. Said a child, an heir, as long as remain a child, differeth not from a servant. He owns everything, but he cannot attain to them. Earthly speaking, you'll have heard about, even if you have not seen, you'll have maybe movies or something, when a father will have willed a property to a child, maybe the child is still under 18, and he said, keep it for him, either till he turn 18 or until he gets married. That thing is his, but he's not assessing them. He cannot make use of them. So when we allow all the works of the flesh, the mundane things, to keep us as children's level, we are being denied opportunity to enjoy that which pertains to us. And secondly, he talked about bondage, putting us under bondage. We've been told that power of darkness, power of darkness, they have power to the extent we are ignorant.
That's right.
Immediately out the eyes of our understanding is enlightened, is opened. You know, just that knowledge alone. Like our sister asked questions today about, oh, what if I want to fight warfare? The fact that I've not done water baptism, can the enemy use that to limit me at the battlefront? Some person can just be under that bondage and they do not have what it takes, you know, to go forth to fight that battle, and they will just be holding themselves back. But with the understanding she had today, I'm sure you have gained and, you know, more stature in the realm of the spirit. So that I don't forget, sorry, the passage I said I'm going to give you is 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So that's where we need to grow. That's why we need to sustain. We'll come back to come and explain it further, but all these ones are just trying to let us appreciate the body behind the verse 3. Let us also quickly see Psalm 133. I'm sure it's a familiar chapter. It's just the beauty of unity. It's three verses, so we can quickly run through it. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When we brethren, he started that lovely for brethren to dwell together in unity. We are able to easily connect with all those things that pertains to us. In our Bible study yesterday, what I said, it came as a confirmation was like when Daniel was contributing, he talked about all those divisions in the house, you know, that the enemy is using it as entrance to come in into us and to attack the body. But we open the door unconsciously. We think we are fighting one another, but we do not know that we're actually helping Satan in his agenda. But from today, our understanding will be more fruitful.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So to attain this perfection through unity, God equip every one of his children. Let's see it from verses 7 to 12. I want to move with speed. Let me see if I can be reading my Bible. Okay, so I'm trying to open my Bible to verse 7, okay? I need internet to open that. Okay, let me flow this up. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure. Every one of us is given grace. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gift unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. We read this one before, in the knowledge of the Son of God. So, why? Because he had a focus, he had destination, he has reason, he has purpose. So, the gift he's giving us is not just for us to brag. Yeah, me too, I'm a child of God. How do you know? I'm a prophet. I can prophesy. Or I'm an evangelist. It's not a title. It's not just to make you, you know, puff up. It is for the house to connect together. It is for the house to attain to unity. And thank God he said that to every one of us is given grace. So there is no one of us that is here that God have not given part of himself. He just shared himself.
Hallelujah.
In every one of us. So that which is inside Kemi, I will receive it. You know, that one which is inside of me, I will give Oyinye. And we just connect like that. So why? So that every one of us can be relevant. So every one of us can connect with one another. And Paul went ahead to talk about, you know, the body, using the body as an example. Praise the Lord. How the hand cannot say to the eye, I don't need you. And how the leg cannot say to the body, go, you're on your own. I'm not working with you today. Body must move together. And even those things that you cannot see, they are very, very important. You know, this one we see. We can take care of it. I can rub powder on my face. I can put ring on my hand. I can put, thank God I'm a woman. I can put nail. I can, you know, wear good shoe. But there are some small, God bless you, Jerry, my necklace. There are some things that are inside that even me, I don't know the name. I don't know the name. I don't even want to know the name because they are so tiny. But if those ones should go sick today, all this powder, all this shoe, I will even be the one to be throwing them away that I don't need them. Praise the Lord. If you just suddenly find out that 2 days you cannot go to the toilet. Ha! That is to, it is true. That is to let you know how we are connected with one another and how anybody should not look down on ourselves and say, I'm not preaching. I'm not leading in worship. I'm not doing this. I'm not relevant. Says who? Like God told Adam, who told you? I you know, I was trying to remember that word that God told me that when I was asking that. It was after I left. I remember, oh, it was Adam. Adam, where are you? I am naked. Who told you? Who told you? No, he couldn't answer. Because it was his flesh, it was his mind, you know, that told him that. Who told you? So, there's a brother that we pray for in Port Harcourt, I mean, Lagos. One of our, it's a brother to one of our brethren in Port Harcourt, in the K2 Fellowship. That serious intercession, what was the problem? His system just ceased. And he couldn't go to toilets. Try. They had to fly him outside the country. It was inside play. This brother went to toilet and poo. Come and see us celebrating poo. That somebody is able to go to toilet. Yeah, and we even saw Joy yesterday for the past 3 days. Joy could not go to toilet. Come and see three of us yesterday when he wanted to poo. You know, things that God said that God has bestowed so much honor.
Glory. Jesus.
On those parts of the body that looks uncomely to you. So even you that is sweeping, even you that is arranging, even you that is only to make call that brother, to every one of us is given what? Grace. And it's so important that you should not look down upon yourself. You should not see yourself as irrelevant. That little thing that God commits into your hand, do not deny the body. And look down on it. Because that's one of the areas that is making us to be unfruitful. Yeah. Because we are putting our eyes on the apostles, on the teachers, on the this thing. That motto you are carrying, if it's one knot of the tire that they did not put well, it will cause issue. So it's as serious as that. May the Lord help and grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. To grant us the revelation, the discernment of the body of Christ. When you say that you might discern the body, it's a revelation on its own. Just to see the mystery of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, he was talking about keeping. Okay, maybe I can say it at this point so that I don't forget it. I mentioned the fact that keep the unity of the Spirit. We are not to create it because it's already there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What is the source of this unity? He told us in the verses we read, one Lord, one Spirit, one Father. I think I even have it in a... Okay. Yes. Verse 4 to 6 show us the source of the, or the description of the unity. Let's quickly read 4 and 6 so that I don't jump in. Ephesians, okay. There's one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let's join Malachi 2:10 to this. Have we not all one Father? Had not one God created us? Why do we do treacherously every? Every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers. We should live in the consciousness that we are covenant children. We are covenant people. So that is the source of the unity. One Father, one Spirit, one love, one God. All of us are bettered by a Father. And we must always, you know, help our mind with that. That's why it's talking about sustaining the unity. Like I said, that's where we're going to major. So we'll come back to that. Let me see other verses. To attain this perfection, we've read down. Okay. I also quickly talked about things that work against the unity. Verses 22 to 23. Then we join James 4:1 to that. Madam Ken, okay. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Join James 4:1 to that. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Praise the Lord. So, putting off, it's telling us that these are things that once they are there, there is no way we can attain to this unity of the Spirit. So to attain to them, we must take them away. I joined James once to see that when you have issue with one brother, don't look outside. You are the problem.
Hallelujah.
You are the problem. Don't look elsewhere. And that brother is annoying. Why must you be annoyed? That is the truth. There's content inside this water, right?
Yes.
Is it pouring?
No.
Why is it not pouring?
It's
no. Because there's content. Then, if it's sealed, praise the Lord. But if I open it, will it not pour?
Yes.
It's not because of the seal. It's because there's content inside. If it's empty, and I still left it open, you won't see anything to come out of it. So somebody gets you angry and you are angry truly. There is anger inside of you. I remember children, you know their language. You know children, their language when they are small. Hey, mommy, come and see baby Roy is looking for my trouble. You, where do you have? Why must you have trouble? That's how I always tell my children there. Mommy, come and see baby Roy is looking for my trouble. Your trouble? Where will you have trouble? Why you have trouble? Where are you? If you don't have trouble, you don't keep it anywhere. Nobody can find your trouble. It's because you have trouble. Wherever you keep the trouble, go and throw it away. So they change their language. They start telling me, he's looking for my trouble. Praise the Lord. So don't let us look elsewhere. That's where I took us to James. Where did they come from? It's inside of you. If they pinch you, you are pinched. It's because you have something to relate with. And God is taking us to where that no matter what happens, he said, behold, the prince of this world cometh and find nothing in me. And that is where God wants us to, who God wants us to be in the way we relate and accommodate one another. What does this endeavoring entails? He said we should put on the, to achieve this, we must put on the new man. We are still going to dwell in where we are going, but let's just pick all this together. Verses 24 to 32. You will now begin to see some of the things that the new man. And that he puts on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Fast. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your rod. Somebody said, what if sun has gone down before the anger? What if sun has gone down before the anger come? You know, praise the Lord. Oh yeah, continue. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Okay, let me just make comment on the 20, what we have read so far. Go back, please. Neither give place to the devil. Praise the Lord. We can remember all that is there to save time. We should not lie. We should speak the truth. How serious do we take those things? How often do we speak truth to our neighbor? Realizing that we are family. We are brothers. We are of the same father. And we did morning devotion one day. And that was many years ago. And Holy Spirit just ministered that verse to me. And it changed the way I relate with my brother. Speaking everyone truth to his neighbor. So I came up with an attitude that what I will not say in your presence, I will not say behind you. So if you have bad attitude, I will pray. I will receive grace. I will receive good approach. And I will come and tell you. So they know me in my fellowship, Sister Lola. She will tell you everything. Because, like I said, I don't want you to take me jam God. There are some things you are doing that is not right that people will readily talk about. So that it will not amount to gossip. I will come and say, then number two is that you are my brother. I don't want you to continue in that condition.
That's
it. So I should come and tell you. Praise the Lord. Because I know as long as that thing, the aroma of Christ will not be seen in your life. I know one way or the other, that thing will be limiting you spiritually. So if I really love you, if I really care for you, I should be able to come and do it for you. When I newly gave my life to Christ as a single girl, I have a friend. She was actually a Muslim. But thank God, she got saved. And before we know what's happening, I also got saved. We were very, very close. One morning, she came to my house. Very early morning on Saturday. And I was still sleeping. Maybe I had VG the previous night. And then, Miss Lori, I come and I want to discuss something with you. I should get up. I got up. He said, I should pick my Bible. I picked my Bible. Then she opened. I should read it. If a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become alive. Where are all this one heading to? Miss Lori, because that's how we address ourselves. Please. I just want to tell you, we are children of God now. The way you snap in the office, it's not befitting of a child of God. You are a new man now. Any little thing you're angry, you just, I'm sorry if you will take it, you know, don't take it, don't be angry with me. Not that I'm perfect. I just feel we should come and tell you. And I'm begging you, also watch my back. When you see me display what I'm not to display, please call me to order. Come and talk to me. She also came fearing that I might not take it lightly with her. And I just said, it's okay. He said, are you not angry? I said, why should I be angry? You love me. You left your home very this morning. So only God knows how your heart, your night was for you to be coming this morning. We hugged ourselves and we pray for ourselves. And he gave me a lot of lessons. So thereafter, if I want somebody is looking for ourselves, Mr. Olabi is here. She will not allow me to, you know, to charge. at this person. That is what is to speak in truth with one another. I was happy that she took it upon herself to come and talk to me. She was happy that I took it in humility.
Hallelujah. Glory.
So, for us sustaining or keeping the unity of the Spirit, we need two things: humility and forgiveness.
Amen. Amen.
Humility and forgiveness is two things that God must work out in our lives. Praise the Lord. So, speaking truth to our neighbor and tells that I know what is wrong with you. Instead of me to go and be telling Sister A or Brother B, if those things are true, the best I can do is ask God for wisdom to come and bring it to you at the right time. If God in it, God will take, you know, tell you to go ahead. If there is no time to do it, it's not yet time to do it, God will always tell. Because these are the things that the enemy used. Praise the Lord, to go into us. Let me give you another example. I went to ATM in my Lagos, and a sister met me at the ATM machine. Sister Lola, this thing that is going on, how many people? I said, what is going on? And Sister Labaja, you say that brother so-so-so was showing interest in her, and because she refused to say yes, so the brother has been victimizing her, and so she wanted her to come to her room, his room. He said, can I say her? For how long has this thing been going on? He said, he doesn't know. But this person that I'm talking about is my senior in age. See, I don't heard, you know, I said, I mean, I don't come, because I'm so particular about the body. I'm so sensitive about keeping the heaven of the fellowship. And all these small, small things, the enemy do capitalize on it and do terrible things among us. I just called the sister in question. My husband will be telling me, Lola, be careful. I said, no. Paul said, if you are a doer of that which is good, who is it that will persecute you? I am on the Lord's side. So I called the person. Luckily, that day, either it was a Tuesday or Wednesday, will you be coming for midweek meeting, which happens to be on a Wednesday? He said, yes. Please come early. You and I need to talk. So he came early. By the time the sister will be telling me, how many sisters, about one third, or even what am I saying? I don't want all to talk of fellowship. We're aware of this thing. I said, I do body. I called Broshola. Broshola was still telling, I said, Broshola, these two people, we must call them to a meeting. Because of the way I pressed on, they called them for, no. Before they called for the meeting, after I heard from the sister, I went and met the brother. This brother. Oh, as I'm talking now, even I'm being emotional. This brother just went on the floor and was shedding tears like a baby. You mean this is what has been going on in my heaven? No wonder I had a dream that I saw myself walking naked. You mean I actually been walking naked among my brethren? What he was saying, that he was totally ignorant of what was going on. And there was nothing close to it. So that was when I now went and met Broshola that this... I said, no, Broshola, it's serious than what you are saying. Call two of them for meeting. Let them meet eye to eye. And that was how we were able to kill it.
Glory, hallelujah.
And he was able to go. Speaking the truth. Many of us, because we don't want to rock the boat, we don't want the fear of what if they don't take it lightly. All I'm saying is that you need wisdom. You need the best approach. You need to pray about it. But it's something that we must learn to do. Part of endeavoring, sustaining the unity of the Spirit among us in the name of Jesus Christ. So we've read things we must work against, the old man, the new man, okay? Endeavoring, we've read verses 24 to 32. Let's see Psalm 34, 12 to 22. We might not read all to save time. Psalm 34. He that is, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he might see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and do what?
Pursue.
Seek, pursue. They are two different words. After you are looking for the peace at all costs, You know, the peace self, as you're able to grab it, is running away. He said, you should still push it. Praise the Lord. So, all this is to let us see that when the Bible says that endeavoring, it's not something, it's something that requires serious efforts on our part. You might always be discouraged, but say endeavoring. This past benefited me many years ago when I encountered it, and both family, brethren, you can apply it. Just be the one that initiates peace in every relationship. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the Son of God or the children of God. Let's see Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as what? Let's read it together from the beginning. One, two, go. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The key word is that as much as lieth in you, it's you that can decide it. So it's like I said before, when you have problem, it's not only that other person, you also look inward. So it said, as long as it's light in you, live peaceably with all men. You can decide to be at peace with everyone. There are some persons, they can be very cantankerous. They can be difficult to get along with. That is where your Christian virtue, you know, will be at display. Because Christ is, the love of God is accommodating. The more, and I've now tried to, because of this kind of word, I don't want anybody to take me jam God or also. You always find them in any assembly. There are some persons, they are very, very notorious. You know, everybody, they are the one that will be blaming every other person. So they don't love me. There's no love in this assembly. There'll be one that will be complaining. There'll be one that will be grudging. There'll be one complaining. Everybody will know them. That's the bad brother. That's how that one is. You know, you better look determined to go and love that person before he take you jam God. Where do I have that coinage from? It was the experience of Moses and the Israelites. These were the people that were so stubborn. Sorry, God forgive me. That even God said he wanted to destroy them. And it was Moses that went and begged. Don't let them give you name. Don't let them blackmail you. They said there's no promised land anywhere. That's why you killed them here. God repented. Moses' time now came. That was why Moses did not get to the promised land. They carry Moses and jam God. So that's why I always say, I will not let man take me and jam God. It was Israelites that did not allow Moses to get to the promised land. Praise the Lord. So if you have in any of such around you, whether at your workplace, whether in the church, you better settle with your adversary while you are still on the way. Praise the Lord. And I'll drop it now because we're still going to make an altar call because we'll get to that verse. If you know you are that kind of person that's always having issue, it is not you. The enemy does not want you to get to your promised land. You will come out, you will receive help. Amen. Praise the Lord. We will pray at the end of the, you know, meeting. 1 Corinthians 14:20, Hebrews 12:14. Brethren, be not children in understanding. How be it? In malice, be children. But in understanding, be men. That's the only way. You know, we read where it says that in Galatians, that an heir, as long as a child, differeth not from his servant. We are not to be children in that one, in understanding. But when it comes to malice, be children. When Stabuki was talking about how we should accept things, like, was it Stabuki? Something like said, it was Tolu during the Bible study, that we should be like children. Children, they will fight now. Then the next second, they've settled themselves together. Be in malice, be children. Let's see Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. We'll talk about that. That is related to what we read in Romans 12:18. So no need to comment on that. Let's see John 17:11, 19 and 22. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they might be one, even as we are one. In that same chapter, Jesus was talking about the need for the disciple, those that have believed in him, to be one. It's just like when a man, an old man, wants to die, and this is his last wish, and talking to his children, and say that, I just want you people to be together. I want you to be one. That is what Jesus is saying here. That is the burden of his heart, because he knows what this oneness means to us, the benefit of it, and how the enemy will fight to break it, because he knows the power behind that, but will not be foolish in Jesus' name. And verse 19, he said, for their sake, I sanctify myself. How does that mean? You know, we'll be talking about you accommodating another person. But what of you that they want to accommodate? What of you they want to... Do you sanctify yourself for the sake of your brother? Do you want to always be a reason for offense? When the Bible says, when Jesus said that offense shall come, that was in answering John's question. Offense shall come, but blessed is he that is not offended in me. Then he said in another place, he said offense shall come. He said woe unto him through offense. So we must both take care of ourselves. Don't say because you are to accommodate and you just leave yourself. You work upon yourself so that you don't be a stumbling stone in the way of your fellow brother or fellow sister. May God grant us understanding in Jesus' name. Like I said, the summary of this is walking in humility, walking in forgiveness. Humility in the sense that you don't take offense easily. And when offense comes, you also have a way of dealing with and let it go. God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to our main focus, which is verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to keep the unity of the Spirit. But one thing we need to glue us together is peace. So peace must be sustained. There must be a peaceful atmosphere, peaceful environment, if we must dwell in unity. The unity of the Spirit is not, like I said, it's not that as we gather together, it's not because we are Winnipeg Fellowship, so we are connected. No. We are talking of the fact that we have talked about the source of this unity, which is in Christ Jesus, being our Lord, one Savior, one Spirit, one baptism. But we must sustain it. And to sustain it, there must be peaceful environment. And you have seen where we have our part to play. Because he said that as long as it depends on us, we should live peaceably with all men. Praise the Lord. So we are to keep this unity. And then peace is the bond that glue us together in sustaining it. And we have seen all the endeavoring, all the works that needs to go. Like I said, why would Paul, after he spoke about all their inheritances, all the spiritual blessings, you know, that avails them in Christ Jesus, suddenly narrow them down and begin to talk about relationship? If we must be people of God, we must perfect character. We must be people that are reliable. We must be people of integrity. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christianity is not religion. A brother Emeka of Port Harcourt Fellowship shared with the youth during the youth conference going on in Toronto yesterday, and he gave a life experience. So when he was a youth copper, They went on evangelism to a village, and he saw this elderly man, and he was trying to minister to the man, explaining through an interpreter, because Emeka is, I think he's serving Yoruba land, and he is Igbo. And the interpreter was helping him, narrating the man. So he was trying to describe Jesus to the man. This is who Jesus is. This is it. He was going around doing good. The man said, now told Remeka through the interpreter, he know that man that he's talking about. They should come. Let them go and show issue. Let them allow him to show them the room where that man lived. Remeka said he was confused. I'm talking of Jesus living in this your room. And the man now went and opened a door in his room and said, that man you are talking about has once lived in this house. Who was he talking about? A copper that sat in that town and lived in this man's house. That exactly what you are describing, I saw it. That was what happened in Antioch. When they saw the follower of Jesus, they said, this is a little Jesus. They are just like him in everything. Where you walk? Can somebody go there after you might have gone? Or even as you are sitting there, and be saying, that Jesus you are telling me. I know. This woman. But this angel, no, she's Jesus. So, because everything you are saying, she is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that is what this interpersonal relationship makes us to be. And through the pages of Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, it is how we relate with one another. So sometimes, when we preach all these our messages, especially in my fellowship, when we do Bible study, we always be, let's break it down. How does this thing impact on my day-to-day relationship? How can I apply it, in my relationship with my husband, with my children, with my brethren, with my staff? Let it impact, let it be seen in what I am doing. Praise the Lord. So we must perfect our character in the Lord. He talked about not lying to one another. Some of us, thank God for GSM. Where are you? And 5 minutes, I'll be close to your heart. We are just leaving the bedroom. Praise the Lord, because the person is not there. Are you the one that, when you say good morning, the person will go and look at his time? But are you sure his time is truly morning? You understand? So it's not just enough to know all this in our head. It is through our life. You don't know people are watching you. You don't know people are, paying attention to you. To what extent are you being ambassador to Christ? To what extent are you adorning this message? You are beautifying this message. That people just look at you, the aroma, what you dispense around them. Well, they don't know anything about Christian, no. They don't know anything about end time, no. They just know that something is different about you because of the way you live your life. Praise the Lord. To what extent do you keep? I do tell my youth, if you don't keep time, your integrity starts from your ability to keep time. If you say you are coming 6 o'clock, be there by 6 o'clock. Don't take it for granted. If you cannot be there 6 o'clock, call. I'm running late. I might not be there. Like I said, you won't know people are watching you. A sister called me to make bid for her and that somebody will come and pick it. I said, okay. Then suddenly, after I finished the bid, just asked, I'm in your area. Can you come and give me? I'm in my so-so-so auntie's place. And that her sister was the one that introduced her to me, of course. I look at the time. And Lagos traffic. I said I will try, but this time, I look at it, and I said, don't worry, I'll try. So I decided to pack up what I was doing, and I took my car, and I was going there. I got there, I just look at it. Immediately, I said, I will there or not before, latest by 6. Then the woman said, please, don't keep me waiting. If you know you will not make it, let me just go, because where I'm going is still another go slow area. Let me start my journey. I don't want to wait 2 hours. At the end of the day, you will not come. I said, I will try. I will be there by 6. Immediately, I pressed the bell. I entered the sitting room. I just saw 2 of them. Went and looked at the time. In my mind, I'm like, have I stayed too long? So, after they look at the time, 2 of them look at them again. The auntie said, didn't I tell you? So, I said, what? He said, when she was agitated to go, he said, is it Lola? If she's not here by 5 minutes to 6, Later, you will see her as 5 minutes after six. You won't know people are watching you. So don't say, I'm coming by six when you know you cannot make six. Praise the Lord. And if you have said it, he said, he that, what's the psalmist, how did psalmist put it? That talking about six people that God looked to. He that sweareth to his own oath and will not change it. Be the person of your word. What made God God is his attribute of, Yoruba will say, what you say you will do. What you do, what you, that is what you will do. That is why you are called Jehovah. What he say you will do is what he will do. So what you cannot do, do not do it. Praise the Lord. I want us to read a story to bring down my message very well. It's the story of David. The last time I shared with us, I think I also dropped it that David is one of my mentors in the Bible. So let's see what happened. There were three kings that this story revolved around. Saul, David, and Absalom. But David stood out. Let's read the story so that I don't preempt it. Let's first see 1 Samuel chapter 24. I'm not sure we can read one. Chapter 24. Okay. Please let me have my phone. I want us to be fast so that I'll be reading from my Bible. This one is not open. Because we're going to read together, so the speed will be faster than when this one comes up. It's a story we know, but let's just refresh our memory. First Samuel 24. Let me see how many verses, if you can jump. Okay, let's read it together. Verse 1 to 24 will be fast. 1 to go. Some voices are wobbling. Oh yeah, let's clear our throat. Okay, 1 to go. Did you say youth church?
Yes, ma'am.
This is a youth church. We are not many here that are 50 plus. So we should sound like youth church. 1, 2, go.
And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that he was told to say, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to see David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcote by the way, where was the cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the side of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy to thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David had smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David said his servant with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. Then David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And Saul looked behind him. David stooped his face to the earth and bowed himself. And he said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou this word, saying, behold, the Lord is dead thy God. Behold, this day thy eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some made me kill thee. But my eyes feared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, he the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not.
No doubt I see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou wantest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom thou shalt come? After a dead dog, after a knee? Then judge thee, Lord, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of their hand. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking this word unto Saul, that Saul said, is it thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted his voice and wept.
Let's leave it there. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I talked about two things, two principal things we need if we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit: humility and forgiveness. We see it here in display. If it were me and you, when it should be a scripture that says that I will trust out your enemy before you, and I will say what? Slay. Praise the Lord. You know how Saul wanted to destroy David, and David had the opportunity, but he chose to forgive. He remembered that vengeance is of the Lord, that God will fight for him. And we also saw humility. It's one thing to forgive, and another thing to see Saul and say, you will have died if not for grace, I forgive you. But immediately Saul turned, he bowed himself to the earth and said, call him my Lord, my master. Praise the Lord. What a life to emulate. Let's proceed to 2 Samuel 16. This is as per Saul and David. Let's see another story. 2 Samuel 16. Are we all there? Okay, let's two go together again. Behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed him as he came. And he cast stone at David, and at the servant of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were of his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with thee, you son of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore art thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowel, seeketh my life. How much more this Benjamin do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will requite me good of his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against, and cursed as went, and threw stone at him, and cast down. Praise the Lord. If you want to enjoy the story, you can start from maybe chapter 14, how Absalom decided to dethrone his father. And David knew that Absalom was determined or desperate. He would come and kill. So the best thing for him to do was to run away. And this son came from nowhere and began to rain accusation on him. They said David had mighty men on his right hand and on his left hand. One even said, what an insult. Who is this dead dog? Dear raise his voice against the king. Let me go and deal with him. David said, who sent you? What concern me and you? It's God that put words in his mouth. Let him continue to reign in his course. Maybe I even deserve this course. Or even if I don't deserve it, maybe God will pity me because of this course and turn away my situation. Let's see chapter 18. verse 33 to 19:4. That 33 is the last verse. Then we'll move straight to chapter 19. Are we all there?
Yes.
One, two, go. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, will God I died for thee, O Absalom, my son. I'm trying to cut off time. If not, we'll have taken from preceding verses how Absalom died. And one of the mighty men of David killed Absalom. They didn't even kill him directly. He hung himself. He would have even died. But somebody else said, let me help and finish the job. They thought David would be rejoicing. The man was even angry. That you mean you will have even killed us for this, your son? Why are we fighting? We help you kill your enemy. You are crying, my son, here. Where is the son? The son that wanted to kill you. So I just saved those time. But let's go to chapter 19 to from verse 1 to 4. Let's continue our reading. And it was told Joab, behold, the king wept and mourned for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard, say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them that stole that day into the city, as people being ashamed, still away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried a loud voice, O my son Absalom! O Absalom, my son, my son. Let's read chapter 19, 15 to 23. Before I begin to come in. That same 19, we just moved to 19, from 15. We just moved to verse 15 to 23. Are we there now? One, two, go. So the king returned and came to Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamin, which was of Baruhim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the son of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a very boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan, and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he caused the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I done to you, you son of Zeruiah, that you should this day be adversary unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do I not know that I am in this day king over Israel? Therefore, the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king swear unto him. Praise the Lord. The same man that was cursing David when he was going, idiot, you're a bloody man. You deserve what you have gotten. God punish you. It's God's judgment upon you. Immediately, he heard that David was returning back. He thought, aha, I'm finished. Let him go and beg. And one of the men was like, okay, we have now seen the victory. If you didn't want us to deal with him at the first instant, this is the time, you know, to pay back for his punishment. Each of these instances, David had excuse. When he was going, leaving, it's God that said that I deserve curse. Maybe that's why he's cursing me. When he returned, let's kill this man. On such a day like this, this is a day of joy, day of restoration. Why should you kill anybody on a day like this? Praise the Lord. There is a book I read that talked about this three kings. They called the book, we read the book, The Tale of Three Kings. The book is very wonderful. In all of this, we see how David stood out of all the three. I will not kiss Saul. He's an anointed man. He is my master. He is my Lord. I will not lay hands on the anointed. Okay, you too, you are an anointed. See Absalom. Was Absalom an anointed? He was not anointed. God did not make him a king. He wanted to make himself a king and wanted to, you know, kill his father. David still had reason for not wanting to kill him. If we relate with ourselves, with one another, making excuse for one another's fault, where is there going to be issue among us? A brother crossed your path, and the only thing you could do is, oh, my sister, I don't know why you did like this, so, but in any case, you can talk to the person. Is allowed. But that does not mean that you should come and brood over it. One of the verses we read says that, do not let sun go down upon your anger so that you don't give place to the enemy. Why did he say so? I love Bible. It's a perfect book. Be angry. He give room for to be angry. Do you understand? Because sometimes when we offend God, as we saw the way he related with this trailer, he will get angry and will rebuke. But before you know, he's the one that is talking about their punishment and he's the one that quickly forgiving them. That's how God wants us to relate with one another. Giving place to the enemy, how does it be? How does it come? Because in your mind, as you are brooding over it, brooding over it, you are giving enemy a lot of opportunity to operate. And you will think, if you don't discern the body, you think that matter is just between you and Sister Labake. The focus is the body.
That's it.
The target is the assembly.
That's
why I mentioned discerning the body of Christ. That what concerns me and, you know, Sister Eno, it's not me and Sister Eno in focus. It's the assembly that comes. When will Paul now begin to talk about relationship? Talked about husband and wife, servant and master, parent and children. Because these are the people invariably that will still constitute the garden. And imagine all of us come with those kind of heavy pollution coming to the assembly. How do you think the assembly will be? And we will not know. These are the way the enemy come to come and spy at our liberty. Take advantage of all those period and rub off us of blessing. Sow seed of sickness, sow seed of death among us unknowingly, and will not be able to pick it because there are a lot of pollution in the heaven. He said, do not give place to the enemy. Place. Enemy is such a way that just give him a foothold. He knows what to do to turn it to a stronghold. So that's why I say, don't even bother to give place to the enemy. And is this, as we work in this understanding and help us, you know, to synergize and take advantage of what belongs to us in the realm of the spirit that will help us better. Talked about our destination, which is growing into the full stature of Christ. How do we get there? That is what the enemy does not want us to attain to. Because the more we grow in him, the more there is an end to him. There's this prayer group. It cut across all fellowship, both Nigerian and abroad. One of the, I think the one that I hold on Sunday, what do you call it? Is it extended leadership? What do you call that prayer?
Special response,
yeah. The last time, the one we had last month, Bro Hope in Raising Prayer Point said that we should pray to slow the enemy down. That the enemy is trying to walk faster than the time that is set for him. So we should slow him down. In my mind, I say, even we that are to combat him, are we ready? So it's not only to slow the enemy down, but even to pray that even us, we might attain to that realm of maturity faster than, you know, before the enemy come. We remember the Bible study that Tolu have been taking us, the wheel of the chariot of the Egyptian, how God slowed them down so that his people can cross over. at the time that the Red Sea opened, if the people refuse to move on, even if those things are moving 1,000 kilometers per hour, at the time they will meet them where they are, because they are not moving forward. So we have work to do. We have work to do. So we cannot allow any porosity. This endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace must be a vision in our hearts. And it depends on every one of us catching that revelation. How do I take care of myself that I am not a stumbling block to my brother? Which aspect of my life? We had a session with the couple where we're talking about understanding your personalities. We said, in understanding your personality, you discover that you have weaknesses and you have strength. You use the strength to leverage on your strength to build your relationship as a team. You staff your weaknesses. Number one, by staffing your weaknesses, you that have that weakness, you begin to deal with it. And also accommodate the weaknesses of your spouse in the spirit of till we all come. We can extend it to the house. Praise the Lord. As I'm dealing with my weaknesses, I am also able to make excuses for my brother. Then, talking about speaking the truth to oneself, do not deceive yourself. The Bible says, know it not your own self. If you have anger, problem, don't pamper it. If you love your destiny, that is the truth. Because we can fast when we are looking for a job. We can fast to receive life partner. Can we fast to deal with anger? Can we fast to deal with lying? Can we fast? Our brother prayed this morning. I said, that's another confirmation. Praying about envy. About jealousy. Can I agree that I have jealousy in my heart? Can I agree that I have spirit of envy? That is being true to myself. You see, lie not, but be true to one another. It starts from me. I should be truthful to myself. Can I readily open up and say, I have a negative spirit. Spirit that only be seen evil thought. Negativity about everybody. You will not say anything good about any brother. What they talked about, brother, I like, don't mind that one. This is it. What of sister peace? Everybody, you are the one that know what is wrong with that person. It's a negative spirit. Is this something I can ever lock myself inside and say, God, take this thing away? So if we cannot do that, all this perfection we are talking about is just mere recitation. We must look at our life and know where we are not conforming. The putting off is not something that is easy. When we did that Bible study, my son gave an example, and I buttressed it. We now use two animals, the serpent and the eagle. God, it's not easy for us like serpent. You know when serpent wants to change his skin? He will just stay one place, then he will walk away and leave the old one here. I think that's how it happened. I wish it's like that for us. Some of us will just wake up like that and just say, if it's that house, maybe it's the physical house you are living. You just move away. As I'm going, you those old nature, old man, I'm leaving you behind. I'm relocating. Wish it would be that possible. A lot of us will have done better. But look at ego. When ego wants to change his feather, he will be, biting himself that some parts of his body will be coming out blood. Because it's time for him to renew. So there's no way we are not going to feel the pain if we want to take off some of these things. We had, I'm a member of Bible study in my fellowship, and so I was given a topic to treat, to handle. It's blessed are the merciful. I didn't know that it has to do with forgiveness. So I started reading, and said, this thing is about forgiveness. And I had issue with my younger sister. I said, no, I would be an hypocrite to go out and be talking of forgiveness when I have something that I'm dealing with. So I said, okay, I'll prepare for the Bible study. But before I start, I'll tell brethren to pray for me. So immediately I said, brethren, I didn't know this thing has to do with forgiveness. So I would not have taken it though. But now I've taken it. This is what happened. This is what happened. I need that thing is paining me to my bone. Pray for me. I even thought I'd let go. I didn't know it would stay there. I said, God, people should pray with me before I begin this topic. And if you are in the congregation and you think you are in my condition, somebody have hurt you, you find difficult to let go, join me here and let brethren pray with us. And they prayed. And immediately we got back to the fellowship. I mean, just like magic, after the fellowship, I received grace to pick my phone and call her and say that I have forgiven you. And our relationship from that day took a new dimension or was totally restored. One of the people that joined me outside to be prayed for, Tuesday of that week, she called. Salala, do you know what happened? I said, what happened? She said, you remember that day? This other call you made, I came out. I said, yes. He said, that man was my late father-in-law, the father of her late husband. That immediately she left fellowship, she just walked straight to the man's house to go and make peace with her, with him that Sunday. Tuesday, she got a call that the man had passed on.
Wow.
The man just died. So it's about we open up to ourselves, because the enemy will always use some things, you know, to hold us down, but will not be foolish in the name of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ. Unity of the spirit is very, very important. Great is our speed. The way God answers our prayer, when he says that whatsoever two of you shall agree together in one accord, it shall be done. Can we get accord when we go? Because if God should open everyone's heart as we are sitting down here, it's not where I sat down today. It's possible it's not where I sat down. I'm sitting down today. I will stand next to you because I may want to move my chair far. You mean this kind of thing is inside your mouth? Praise the Lord. But because we cannot see, but you know your own self.
That's it.
You know your own self. So you don't need to cooperate with the enemy. Why? In sustaining the heavens of this place, who is going to benefit? We. You are not doing it for any other person. You want to walk to an assembly that without being prayed for, you just receive your healing.
Amen.
You want to walk to an assembly. That interview you are going to, tomorrow, Holy Spirit just begin to give you expo because there is oneness in the heaven. Our sister has been talking, this is our second time or third time. Each time we talk about, doing Bible study, she'll be talking about how to stand in the gap for the member of her family. That shows that she's going through a warfare, a battle that is so heavy in her heart that every time she must talk about how do we get about it. When we get to where God wants us to be, she will just walk into the assembly and somebody will pick it up and say, this, like I told her, the passage I gave her, it's like when you are having this kind of thing, you need to pray an inquiry prayer, showing you the source of the problem. And once you deal with the source, you don't deliver yourself only, you deliver, because the source has been taken away. Nobody in the family, you know, will suffer that thing again. So somebody will just come and just pick it, you know. This is not only in church, even us that are husband and wife. If you allow the enemy to come in, if you don't sustain that oneness, which is what God wants us to enjoy, that's part of the benefit of marriage. One shall put to flee 1,000 and 2,000. Two are better than one. When one is cold, the other is hot. Praise the Lord. But many times we just face one another. You are the one that offended me. You didn't put my table here. No, I keep the chair here. You did not. And then we just open the place for the enemy. But when you live together in one accord, we bruise the head of the enemy. Praise the Lord. So when we extend that one to the church, to brethren, we see that things of God moved. Praise the Lord. So my concern majorly is us as individual. There are some things that should not be mentioned with us. There are some things shall not be present with us. If there are anybody on the planet Earth, on the face of the Earth, that we should have perfect character, it's us. But there's something that's still not, you know, that's still not right with us. We have issue. We are fighting. We are quarreling. That's why church in Ephesus is different. It's not like, in short, Paul got tired. He didn't know what to call Galatia. He said, oh, foolish Galatia, who have bewitched you? Sometimes we behave foolishly. Because among brethren, by the time you will see the issue they are just dragging, you'll be wondering, how does it one affect, you know, our callings in God? Are you still, if you can deal with your brother, you can relate with your brother like this, what of outsider? If you cannot accommodate little things with your brother, you just hold on to it as it's heaven and earth. How then do we also appreciate the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary? Praise the Lord. How do we? One of my staff had issue, and the husband said she must go and apologize to the lady they were having. And she said she's not going to do it. I didn't do it. I said, apologize. Not even because your husband says so, but that's what the Bible says. He said, but I said, Jesus that died on the cross, was it what he did that he died for? He would have even been easy for Jesus. Even as he was there, the people were dying for, say, sorry, yeah. Sorry, you are doing it for us. Just bear the pain. We understand. We worship you thereafter. You'll be our Lord, yeah? We're not explaining you. But rather, they are adding insults unto injury for him. Stupid man, kill him. His own is too much. And these are the people that came to die for. Jesus said, don't take it against them because they do not know what they are doing. Yet, we are the one that will be saying, I die daily. Yes, I die daily. Do you know what it means to die daily? Yeah, carry your cross and follow Jesus. Really? Do you know what it is? Myself and my son were sharing together, and I was telling him, I said, hey, do you know what is dying? Some of us, you know, if you want to use the cross of Jesus to as an example, we are actually dozing on the cross. We are not dead. We are not dead at all. We will jump down, deal with the matter, and then go and hang it. Because that is because when you see some person, what they react, you say, look at the brother that said, yeah, I died. Or on the alternative, if we are Jesus, that day that they are reaping insult on us, you say, God, do you know what? I'm out of here. He will jump out of that cross. It's you that know you want to deliver people. Count me out of it. Enough. And you just walk down and walk away. Do you think it was easy for Jesus? If it was easy, will you go to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray and the sweat will be like blood? Somebody prayed and the sweat that was coming out of his body was blood. Just because he wanted to go to the cross. That's why the Bible said that you have not yet resisted the devil unto death. So it's all this small, small thing. He talked about me. He insulted me. He did not greet me. And this and that. That's what we are holding on tight to. I will look at some person and I'm like, why is this matter? Me, once I will just, after I receive grace, I say, God, I'll just put my heart on Jesus. How he died on the cross of Calvary. Okay? This is my time. This is my time to die. We can go by grace. You understand? God will help us because we must be there. You must catch that vision of unity. Endeavoring is shows that it's not something that will come cheaply. A brother, whether yesterday praying or somebody, it was last Sunday, I think it was also last Sunday, talking about if the enemy wants to come, let it not be through me. That's the attitude. If physically we want to see what we are in the spirit, we want to envision it. We are holding hands. We say, like, let us stand in circle and hold our hand. If every one of us is holding hand, you know nobody can call me. But you so make sure that both your right hand and the left hand, you are holding your sister or your brother tight. That the enemy is coming, though, but you ensure you are not going to come through me. If all of us are able to maintain and sustain that way, where would the enemy come in? May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Where we are going, we will get there by the grace of God. But once we lay our hand, when we have our vision, the Bible talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. If we know what we are and where we are going, there are some things we'll not bother ourselves about. Things go on in the church. It's not only us. Things go on in the body of Christ that you'll be wondering. I went to a church. Will I go to a church? But not that we were having a full service. I wanted to go have a time, a retreat. And I went with my son. wanted to go and pray. So wanted to use the auditorium because they have the facility. Wanted to use the auditorium to pray. And as we got there very early in the morning, myself and my son, we sat down. Baby said, Mommy, listen to that man. And the man was a few meters away from us. I said, Baby, you are here for yourself. What concern you with any man? Mommy, listen. I said, Baby, please don't distract. Mommy, please now listen. Because he insisted. And now listen. The man sat down by his Bible on his legs. And then he was using his phone. I will kill you. You are a madman. Stupid. If you don't give me my money. By the time I said, Jesus. In this kind of place? With your Bible on your lap? He came for deliverance. That is the truth. Ours might not be in that, ours might not be in that dimension. Might not be as serious as that. But what of those small, small malice? What of those small, small bitterness? What of those small, small rancor? What of those small, small envy? What of those small, small jealousy? Can you say like Jesus, behold the prince of this world coming? He find nothing in me. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. The majority of you are youth. You might not have so much to drag with. But we know what we see in churches. That small, small thing people. There was a day somebody was telling me, there is class in this church. I say class. When did they divide the church? Where are classes? Me, I'm seeing one hall. And we just, those people that sit down here at the front. I say, ha. You come to church, you pick any seat you like. Which one concern class among the people? We'll just be picking small, small things at the end. Yes, that do not have meaning. And then when we come, we'll be talking of resurrection and immortality. These things are not high sounding. Do you understand? This little we are talking about, those are the manifestation of the sons of God. During the service of Song of Late Brother Bayo, come and hear the testimony. Somebody said, the savings account of somebody have gone. That is the one that hold the account of all, most of the people in diaspora, building their houses for them, holding the account for them. Almost everybody that testified about him had many things in common that they said about this brother. Are you that consistent? That what they say in your office, they will say it in your neighborhood, it agree with what your brethren will say. Or you are sister this. Nimi, when he was small, he told his mom, but why is it that when we are brother on Sunday, we are not brother from Monday to Friday? What people are on Sunday is different from who they are. For as little as he was, he could notice that it's not the what I see in church that I see most people do around me. Is it us to be so? That is where we have the work to do. So let's not be counting and putting our mind only on those high things. These are the way we can download all these things that we can download, all the heavenly resources. So for Paul to take time and be telling them, fine, you are doing well in this area. I will let you understand what benefit accrue you as faithful children of God. But this area of relationship, if you don't work on it, the enemy will use it to deny you of some important thing in your life. And may that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Like I said, that at the end, I'm going to make an altar call. It just dawned on me that way because every one of us need help. And we need to be very intentional about this thing. Intentional. It does not concern you about anybody. You have your vision. You know where you are going. It's not your fault. You do make it yourself that way. But scripture is true. Verily, verily. As we are born the earthly, we will bear the heavenly nature. Amen. So it's about, if it's not everybody, it's not common to man, Paul will not say, put off the old man. All of us have the old man. And it's you that want to put it off. So if you know you have a struggle in any area of what we have been talking about, that the works of flesh, the old man that is still there, and all the things by the stammering lips we have been able to explain, you think you need help. Humility, forgiveness. You might want to step out and let brethren agree with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That from today, it becomes that area of struggle, that area of weakness, become your strength in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. God can do it. and God will do it for us. Because that is how what it is. There was a sister I told and said, I had anger problem. She looked at me and said, you, Stalala, anger problem. I said, it's growth that you are seeing. How did I do it? When sister is having problem with me, I will be turning into my heart. I will be angry. Then later, immediately something comes, I will just change position. I will wear, the body of that person. You understand? It's Angela that is that offended me. I will now become Angela. I will not be angry on behalf of Angela. Praise the Lord. So that I can see the point from that Angela side, why Angela is angry with me. So I'm like, okay, I deserve Angela to treat me the way he treated me. In so doing, my own mind will melt away. At a time, when my husband come and meet me, brother, I will be making an excuse. Maybe he didn't mean to. How do you know he didn't mean to give me? We'll be talking after a while. You can't, even by the time my husband come, you will hear him. He can hardly talk before you don't say, I've learned it from my wife. You can make, excuse for somebody. Look at how David did it. He will change the statement. He will rephrase it so that he will not pick offense. Maybe I deserve it, the way he treated me. Okay, we have gone and come back. God has given us victory. He's still coming to bed. On a day like this, let there be no killing. Let there be no death. He will rephrase it just not to give occasion for the enemy. If you need help, if you love your destiny, if you don't want to be a stumbling block in this assembly, if you don't want to be through you that the enemy will come to this assembly, you may want to come out. It must be as little as lying. It must be as little as, not ability to keep to time. Anything whatsoever. Part of what we have said, or we might not have said it, but Holy Spirit have convicted you along the line. You may want to take a step of faith and we'll operate ourselves together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Rosa,
I believe all of us need this help.
Yes,
and Sister Lola, please don't sit down yet. Please, you are still going to pray for all of us. I too need this help. So don't hand over the microphone to me. So Sister Lola, please come. The Lord has. Please, we all need the help. Then we all kneel down together and ask. Okay.
That's what we should do.
Okay, I think maybe all of us should just go to the Lord and kneel down because I need the help. And we should just cry to the Lord and ask God to help us. I believe the anointing is here. The grace is here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. We come to you without any plea. But looking up to the Lamb. Each one of us looking deep into our hearts, we know we have failed you. We know that we have not walked according to your truth. Each one of us, there are areas in our lives that have been exposed by the word of God this afternoon. We come to you just as we are. And we plead for mercy. Forgive us, Father. The pride, the bitterness, the envy and the jealousy. All the foxes, little and big, that have found their way into our hearts. Lord, we come and plead for mercy.
Amen.
Have mercy on us, O God. And let there be healings.
Amen.
You said when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Lord, this afternoon we'll receive forgiveness and we'll receive cleansing. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you emphasize on the need to have forgiveness and humility. Forgiveness and humility. Oh God, let this grace be mightily worked into our hearts. Everyone in this house, unite us together.
Amen.
Bind us together. Cause us to see eye to eye.
Amen.
Not even only amongst those of us here. The Bible says that we might be able to comprehend with all saints. Lord, I will not look down on fellow Christians. Even if they are not gathering with us here. We will be able to appreciate Christian anywhere. Every child of God will be so precious to us. No matter what their assembly may be, we will learn to discern your body. We will learn how to discern your body. You said because some people do not discern your body, they became weak. And some of them even die. Lord, we will discern your body. The unity that you have commanded us this afternoon from your word, we will not be disobedient. It's an heavenly vision. We will not be disobedient. We will forgive each other.
Amen.
We will keep the unity.
Amen.
We will walk in love.
Amen.
This house shall walk in love. Each one to each other, we shall walk in love.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, as your daughter was speaking, I became aware that a season is upon this house. That you are about to pour out your spirit upon us mightily. But things must be put right. The nets must be healed. Everything must be put right. And you are coming to us early enough to take away all that can deny, all that can stand in your way. All the things that when you come could be a stumbling block, you are dealing with them. Father, we surrender ourselves to you. That all such thing that you are pointing your finger to this afternoon, we will find grace and strength to deal with all of them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let the healing water flow.
Amen.
Let the healing water flow.
Amen.
That stream of life that flow from the vein of Emmanuel.
Amen.
The blood and the water.
Amen.
Let it flow through this house now.
Amen.
Let it flow through this house. Let it carry away all the dirt, all the unclean things, all the rabbits, all the lizards, all the cockroaches, everything that is unclean. Let them be flooded away. The blood and the water that flow from the vein of Emmanuel, let it flow as a mighty river. Let it come through this house. Go through the length and breadth of this house. Let it flush away every lie, every deceit, every pride, every bitterness, every envy. Let them be flooded away in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God. Oh God. Let them be flooded away. And let there come upon us a clean water.
Amen.
A clean water. You said, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Lord, we receive clean water.
Amen.
Washing us away. Let the filthy garment be taken away. Let there be a change of garment. Each one of us kneeling down before you, when we arise on our knee, cause us to become a new man. Let a new heart be given. A new mind be given. And go forth in the name of Jesus. Some of us might need to talk to people individually. Some of us might need to leave here and go and meet certain people and say, brother, sister, I'm sorry. I have taken this against you for long. I'm sorry. Lord, give us that grace to be able to take physical steps where needed. Give us the grace and the wisdom to know how to do it. In the name of Jesus. That Lord, the cross of Christ will have its true effect. That each one of us will truly know how to die. Die to self. Die to the flesh. Die to the world. And alive only in Christ. Let it be so, Father. We receive that grace and that wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. Let's just take this song while you hold your hand. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us to. Please hold your hand. Hold your hands. Just hold your hand with somebody. Announcement and then